Bella Swan is back and she's hornier than ever.
That's what the recap is in the CW reboot of the Twilight series.
Honestly, could you imagine if they did like a recap at the beginning of the movie like they do for Netflix in between seasons?
Oh my god, that'd be so good.
I would love
to. Can I make one? No, I don't want to.
That would be like a really great job to have for Netflix. It's like creating the recaps of like previous movies for like when they're in series.
Yeah.
Like say for instance they did like...
Was it, you know, sometimes a new movie comes out and you're like, I don't remember what happened in the last movie.
I mean, that happens a lot with the fucking, you know, Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the reasons I haven't watched the last two Avengers movies, so Endgame or Infinity War, is because I'm like, honestly, I don't super remember what happened before then. I haven't been keeping up with the Marvel Universe, so if someone could just give me a quick recap, like, I'm good to go, but I'm not willing to sit through 3 hours of a movie I'm not gonna understand. So
I mean, if you want me to give you a recap, I can, because I've seen all of them.
I know a lot of the spoilers. I just don't know a lot of like what actually happens. So
yeah, the only ones I haven't seen are Captain Marvel and Iron Man 2. And at this point, I haven't, or not Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3. I haven't seen Iron Man 3 for I don't know why. I just haven't seen it, and it's been so long since I haven't seen it. I'm at the point where I'm like, I might as well just not watch it. But weirdly enough, they'll like sometimes reference it every once in a while. Or at least they did in the first Infinity War. Whatever. I digress. Basically, this whole thing was just me trying to say that not my dream job, but a job I would like to have is to put together those recaps for movies and series.
They would be fun, but if it was a long series, it'd be a ton of work because you would have to know that series like really well.
I mean,
in order to like be effective.
Girl, do you know how like I watch Supernatural? And
God, you should get hired for that. Specifically for Supernatural.
It's the last season.
You're like the most qualified person I know.
It's the last season. It's not gonna work out for me. But
Maybe they'll do another
spin-off.
Waits 2 years, does a reboot of Supernatural. Well, it's been 15 years since it started.
I know. I think they would have to wait another 15 years for it to have been off air. Like, Sam and Dean will have to be significantly old so that they can do cameos.
Oh, true. It's not a reboot if you don't have a cameo, you know?
I mean, hey, they do that with Roswell. Fucking Rachel, she directed a couple episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she directed a couple episodes from this reboot season of Roswell.
Why is this the first time hearing about this? Is it just my memory not retaining anything that people tell me?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't tell you because, like, I know just because I followed the Roswell Instagram.
Oh, I did not.
Yeah.
I'm not good with names. So.
Yeah, I only followed the Roswell Instagram just because we were doing literally, we watched the whole first season. I'm like, well, might as well. Let's keep up with whatever the fuck they're doing.
Oh, God. Are they doing anything right now?
No, other than gearing up for season 2. Like, they're writing it, probably. Because it's, what, July? Yeah, I think the writers are off, like, break. I think they give them, like, a month break in between, like, May and June where they don't, like, do anything. And then they're like, hey, get back into the office.
Something about the summer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's fair. No one...
Do you think the SNL writers ever get a break?
Yeah, every once in a while. They probably get a summer break. They probably get a good while break because their season ends, like, the beginning of May, maybe?
Wait, so there are times that SNL isn't airing?
Yeah, they just run reruns.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We're way off topic. But anyway, we watched the clips. So, again, Bella Swan is back and hornier than ever before.
Did we ever get past that point?
No, but...
Great.
To be honest...
Off to a great start.
If I were just, like... To be honest, I could sum up a lot of these Twilight movies with, like, one good tagline, and I think that's the one for Eclipse.
They're not very complex.
No, not really. I will say that this was my favorite book from the franchise, like, from the books that I've read.
It was a good one, for sure.
But I've only read book 2 and 3, so
even though half of it... Well, yeah, that's a really bad frame of reference, then.
Yeah.
But, I was gonna say, well, even though most of the book is her just trying to convince Edward to fuck her.
Yeah, that's literally... Like... I remember, from what I remember from the book, and the movie is literally not that far off from the books, from the book, I won't say books. This movie in particular was very close to the actual book, in which there's the whole conversion of Riley by Victoria. Victoria's all like, I'm gonna build me a vampire army, I'm gonna do this shit, I'm gonna go fuck Bella up because she got my man James killed. To which I'm like, I mean, I guess because she's immortal, for her, even though it's been a little bit, it feels like just yesterday, but at the same time, I'm just bitch, get over it.
You know how it's like, what do they do all day? Plot vengeance. She doesn't have anything else to do, so.
I mean, she ain't got a job.
No.
I mean, really.
Maybe where's she get a hobby.
Where's that Ma clip? Damn, Ma, don't you got a job?
It's like thinking like Mean Girls, where it's like at the end, she like starts playing field hockey or something because it helps get her out her aggression.
Yeah.
I think she just needs to take up a hobby, you know, like wrestling, or boxing or something.
She got into gardening because then she could kill weeds.
Jesus.
She just digs up weeds
all
day.
Is there like a sport or a hobby that involves biting?
I mean, I'm sure she could just like, if she really wanted to get out her aggression, she could just literally sign up for any military and just, like, go at it.
That's true.
Because I'm sure there's something they could point her at where she was just like, I don't even care what I'm doing. It's just something to do. I'm angry.
Joins the military out of boredom.
I mean,
boredom and anger.
That's the proper place for aggression, in my humble opinion. If you're going to be that aggressive, I feel like that's a proper place to put it, because they need people who are just like...
You know where I think the proper place for aggression is?
What?
Therapy.
True. I thought you were about to say the bedroom, and I'm like, please don't say that.
No. at Jacob.
Ugh. So, I'm just going to put on the books that, originally when I was reading the books, I was 1,000% a Jacob. I was on Team Jacob.
I wasn't.
Weird. Really? Were you Team Nobody, or were you Team Edward?
I was Team Edward.
Why?
I don't remember. I was, like, 13, 14.
Oh, you were into the fucking romance of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, one of the things he says in this movie...
Plus, werewolves were stinky, Chad.
Whatever.
Plus, like, in the books, they don't have abs. You know what I mean?
The movie
comes out, and you're like, werewolves could be okay.
They always said they were shirtless, so in my mind, I imagine them with abs. But I'm also gay, so I always just imagine them with abs when they say that type of shit. Because, I mean, if you're going to be shirtless all the time, it's just like, unless they say shirtless.
Werewolves shirtless all the time, but they all have, like, beer bellies.
All right, what type of, well, damn it, you haven't seen fucking Avengers, so you can't, like, comment on that. I was going to say, is it, like.
I've seen the old Avengers, I just haven't been keeping up with Avengers. Thor's my favorite. Always has been. Always will be. I stan.
Yeah, I'm, like, trying to, like, here, let me pull up a picture of, like, Fat Thor from, like, the new movie.
Oh, God.
Because he got fat for no reason, and it was, well, no reason. He was depressed. That was his whole thing. But it's
super, oh, my God, that's so funny.
Girl, do you know, like, everyone in the theater was fucking laughing when he showed up and he was fat?
And that's why I love Thor, because he's the funny one.
True.
But others take themselves far too seriously.
It's very true. But I also love Chris Hemsworth in general.
Yeah, he's cool.
Also, just him as Thor. He's a great Thor.
He is, yeah. Yeah.
But,
he very much balances the, like, I'm a god and am powerful and have responsibility, but also, like, I will fuck around.
Yeah, it's really like I want to have, but
I'm also here to have a good time.
It's really like, I have responsibility, but I low-key don't want it.
Yeah.
And then all the others
are like, I'm powerful and depressed.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, that's not fun to watch. It gets old pretty quick.
That's why,
in my opinion.
That's why I wasn't into fucking Edwards, because he's all like, I'm strong, but I'm also moody and depressed. And I'm also from, like, England and blah, blah, blah. Because that was, like, one of the things he said in this movie. He was just like, I'm from another time. Like, if we would have done things right, I would have, like, courted you, maybe stealed a kiss or two, but I would have asked your father's permission, yeah. And I'm like,
well, I will also say, get that I've never really been one for the unpopular ship. If I'm, like, reading a movie or watching or reading a movie. Who am I? If I'm, like, reading a book or, like, watching a movie or a show or something.
Well, sometimes
I'm honestly, most of the time, I'm cool with whatever. Like, especially in love triangles, I'm usually cool with whoever the writers, like, tend to pick or lean towards. Because I'm like, honestly, that's easier for me. So unless it's someone that I legit just hate, like, really don't like, I'm usually just happy to go with that. And Twilight, I was like, okay, you know, I'm happy to go with this.
Well, I'm sure Jane the Virgin
was... Edward, so.
I was going to say, I'm sure Jane the Virgin was very confusing because they go back and forth.
I mean, yeah, I honestly did like Michael for a while, and then eventually I'm just like, eh, I think I like Raphael better, and it's kind of been like that since. And especially, like, Michael was honestly so shitty for a while in the latter part of his life. Well, his first life before they fucking killed him and then brought him back to life, but, like, you know, he did some shitty stuff then. At that point, I was like, okay, no, I'm over it. I'm, Raphael's hotter anyways.
That's why I don't like Edward, is because, okay.
They did him real dirty in the movie. Like, Robert Pattinson is not unattractive, but they did him real dirty. Sorry,
okay,
go on.
So, speaking of which, I definitely didn't touch on this when we were talking about New Moon, but in between Eclipse and New Moon, it looks like Edward got work done. It literally looks like Robert Pattinson got some facial work done.
Or he may have. I mean, like...
It's either that, or they did some, like, fucking smoothing and shit in post, or whatever. I'm like, looked different. He full-on looked different.
I honestly think a large part of it is the way they changed the lighting and color of
Maybe.
It. Because all of them looked so much better in New Moon.
It's true.
All of them did. And
they're
I think
like,
it's,
let's get
I
a
think
third
it's just
light.
The way they, yeah, I think it's just the way they lit and then color-corrected that first, or color-graded that first one. It just looked... So, like, it just made everyone look real rough.
Yeah.
Like, it was not flattering for anyone there.
Yeah.
And also, I'm guessing, like, he was around that age where he did probably age a little bit enough for his face to, like, square
there was
off
like,
a little more. Like, people change, you know?
I think there was maybe 6 months between them doing shooting, if that.
I mean...
Because the movies came out a year apart.
Maybe he just worked out more. I don't know. Because that'll affect your face, too.
He was actually ripped in New Moon.
Yeah, he was very ripped. And I don't think... I think he was, like... You know, I think he was pretty fit in the first one, but I don't think he was, like, ripped, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But especially with all the media and stuff, and especially the fact that he was the love interest in a teen romance movie, I'm sure that there was some more pressure for him to, you know... Especially when he's going against Taylor Lautner, like...
Who was ripped and shirtless.
Exactly. Like, I'm... You know, they need to do something, or else it's just gonna look pathetic, you know?
It's true. I do remember, like, when they, I do remember when they were talking... They did, like, interviews with all of the Wolf Pack boys, like, around
Wolf
that time.
Boys.
Honestly, I think I went to, like... I went to, like, a screening at the National Harbor, I think, during... Around the time of Eclipse or something for the movie. And, like, one of the guys was supposed to be there. I think it was the guy who played Alex. Or something. I think that was his name. I don't remember. But...
Wait, which one's Alex?
Maybe that's his real name. Fuck, I don't remember.
I don't know.
But I digress.
I don't remember any of the werewolf people's names except for Jacob.
I only remember Boo Boo Stewart because, like, he's a fucking infant and then he still kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just... Also, his name is Boo Boo Stewart, which is kind of funny.
It
but,
is a pretty funny name.
Yeah. So, you know, Edward is... My whole thing with, like, between Edward and Jacob was Edward never came off as, like, I mean, he wasn't, like, a bad boyfriend, but he also seemed, like, especially in the movies, he seems super possessive. I'm like...
Yeah, in my opinion, he's better in the books, but yeah. But also, like, back then, possessive was, well, I mean, even now, a lot of people see possessive as, like, a good trait. Because it's like, oh, well, he just, like, cares a lot. And, like, I honestly do think it's, like, a pretty, like, toxic thing to be, like, that level possessive.
It's because there are so many people who don't want to, like, claim being in a relationship and shit like that. They'll take someone being possessive as, like, oh, he actually, like, claims me and loves me. And I'm like, no, that's controlling.
Like, yeah, well, I will say, to be fair, I do think it's sort of fair to be kind of, like, possessive or at least, like, jealous around someone who you know is a threat. Jacob, like, is a threat to his relationship, because I do think there is some level of feeling there, and Jacob is definitely interested in her.
Yeah,
so,
but
like,
is
I understand,
there?
Like, I think he overdid it, but I do understand a feeling of jealousy or slight possessiveness in those situations when he does overdo it to the point where it's like, okay, bro, keep it more internal, chill out a little bit. Like, you can be on the watch, but, like, you don't need to be, like that, TM.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's even a warrant for that, though, because in general, it's like, oh, I need to be on the lookout and protect Bella. And I'm like, but Bella literally has multiple times said, I am a ride or die. I'm riding for that dick. When are you giving it to me?
It's true. Well, there was the one point, though, in Eclipse where she told Jacob to kiss her. And I still, honestly, like, rewatching it, I still don't fully understand why she did that. But maybe it's because I was zoning out a little bit at that point.
I was, too, but it's also, I remember that being an actual moment in the book, and there was, like, it's kind of like a disconnect between the translations.
Yeah, because, like, I don't really get why she did that. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I think in the books why she was doing it was to figure, like, it's one of those weird, subtle things that doesn't translate, where she was trying to figure out her emotions, and she was just like, fine, kiss me, like, I'm full, like, 100% giving you consent to kiss me, we'll see how I feel about it, and blah, blah, blah.
Like, I'll give you a proper chance to make your argument, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Make your argument on my mouth.
On my face. And after that, she was just like, well, I'm into this, but not as much as I'm into Edward for some reason. And I'm like, the rationale of why she's, like, such a dick rider for Edward does not make sense for me. I don't get it.
I'm like, telling you, she imprinted on him. She imprinted on him. I'm telling you, that's all it is. I don't get
the appeal. Even in the books, I'm just like, girl, why?
Bella's into Mormons.
I mean, I think it's just because I think it's another one of those things where it's, like, a disconnect in the book, or the book from the translation, because, like, they got Kristen Stewart, who is not ugly in any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Like, you would have to work really hard, and I mean,
well, Bella's not supposed to be ugly, she's just supposed to be very, like, ordinary. And Kristen Stewart is also not ordinary looking.
Yeah, like, you need someone who's, like, very humdrum, average America. Like, you really need to look in the middle of America to find that one
random
bitch.
Lately they've gotten better at finding ordinary looking actresses for those roles.
Yes.
I feel like back then it used to all be like, oh, ordinary just meant, like, not a supermodel and not blonde.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, a brunette.
It used to be a brunette who wasn't a supermodel. Like, that's all it was. Like, they were still conventionally attractive, but they weren't, like, supermodel body. They were usually younger looking. And now I feel like they've actually started to get real people who look like real ordinary people on screen more. And it's very refreshing in my humble onion.
Yeah. Like, I was telling you about Midsommar. Like, one of my favorite things was, like, all right, I don't want to say the casting, but the casting of the main character, like, okay, the girl in it. I loved her. I like that actress, mm-hmm, which kind of reminds me of, I'm pretty sure you've never seen It Follows either, but the actress that they have for It Follows, I really liked her too, and it kind of reminded me of that type of thing where it's like, well, I feel like horror movies in general are way more into that whole thing of, like, finding someone fresh, someone new that someone doesn't know.
Yeah.
And it's way easier to get an introductory lead role, mm-hmm, in a horror film than it is in anything else, in my opinion. That's what I think. Because as someone who watches as many horror films as I do, I feel like I find way more new talent in that genre.
Yeah.
Than anything else.
I feel like it's because you don't find a lot of very established actors in that genre, because I feel like a lot of people don't take the horror genre that seriously.
It's very true.
And so an established actor is like, oh, I don't want to be in a horror film. Like, no one's going to take me seriously. If I do that, I'm going to go do artsy shit.
Yeah, because I don't even know what Robert Pattinson did before this franchise.
I know he did Water for Elephants afterwards.
Yeah, I think this, I mean, not I think, I know for a fact that for, well, I want to say it did that for Kristen Stewart too, but at the same time,
I think
time,
it also ruined her career a little bit. Like, it put her, like, in the public eye, but people weren't taking her seriously as, like, a serious actress, you know?
Which, like, is funny because she did Speak before this.
Right.
Oh, have you seen Speak?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. Yeah, because I think she did Speak before this.
Yeah, so
when
I mean,
she was,
it
like,
made
13 or something.
People were aware of her, but people didn't necessarily think well of her. You know what I mean? And I think it took her a while to get out of that, like, rut.
Also, I think she was in that fucking movie Panic Room. Wow, Kristen Stewart really has been acting for a long time. Yeah.
I think Robert Pattinson honestly recovered faster than she did.
Yeah, well, that's sexism for you.
It's true.
That's literally sexism for you. very but true. Also, I don't think Taylor Lautner had all that great of a had all that great of a career after this either.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what did he do?
Well, last thing
I know, he's done something, but
last thing in recent history that I remember him being in was the second season of Scream Queens. And that's kind of, like, the only thing.
Mm. Okay, well.
And he's not that bad of an actor, per se. I mean, he was Shark Boy in Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
He grew up fucking fast as shit after
Shark Boy. I'm shocked they didn't put him in Teen Wolf. Right? Why not?
Because they cast Tyler Posey. But if they hadn't cast...
Okay, but why not both?
If they hadn't cast Tyler Posey, Taylor Lautner would have been the prime fucking... I think what happened is Taylor Lautner got cast in... Wait, when did Teen Wolf come out?
I don't know.
Maybe Taylor Lautner was too
old.
You're
the Teen Wolf boy.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is I think it came out like 20... Let's see, what was it? 2019. So it definitely came out like 2012-ish, somewhere from in that area. So I think what it was is he was probably too old at that point. Because I think he was in the fourth Twilight movie by then.
Would it be the first time they had someone in their 30s playing a high schooler?
Am I right, ladies? But, whatever. They were like, no, we need to find someone younger. I mean, fucking Crystal Reed, when she was on that show, she was the main love interest. I think she was 25.
Right? See, there you go.
And that was, like, season one or two.
Yeah. Well, it's like, even in, like, Twilight, I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay, some of these characters could be in high school. I'm like, Edward does not look like he's in high school. Like, boy.
Nope. Not even a little bit. So, in this movie, Bella's horny as fuck. She really wants to fuck, but Edward's just like, marry me. I love you.
And she's like, I don't want to get married. I'm just trying to fuck here.
Yeah, and do you know why that is? Because I went on the fucking Wikipedia page and was reading about her inspiration because I was just like, I feel like Twilight was fan fiction of something else. To which, again, I still believe that Twilight was Roswell fan fiction. Oh, yeah. No one can fucking tell me otherwise.
Then what was Roswell fan fiction of? Because that wasn't original content either, I think.
Vampire Diaries fan fiction? I don't know. Or True Blood? Because True Blood was a book first,
Roswell was before Vampire Diaries.
Was it?
Yeah, because Roswell was late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay, but didn't we establish that the Vampire Diaries was, like... earlier than that, maybe? I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't know when the book started.
I'm Googling it right now. We have to get it.
Oh my god, are we fact-checking?
We never do that. I know we never do that, but I have to find out. Okay, so the first one came out in 1991, I think.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, Vampire Diaries did come first. I thought, well, earlier you said it was like 2000, 8-ish, but I think you meant the show and not the books.
Oh yeah, I meant the show, not
yeah,
the books.
I interpret that as the books.
Yeah, the books originally, like, the first four books apparently came out between 1991 and 92. Damn, that's real quick. And there are 13 Vampire Diaries books. If you did not know that, now you know.
That sounds correct.
It's entirely
They're not super long. Like, the Twilight books, those are long books. Yeah. If you put them in the same size as Vampire Diaries, it would be a lot longer, too.
Yeah, because I remember when I bought, like, a Vampire Diaries book, it was like... It was called, like, Volume 1 or something, and it had, like, the first two or so books together. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, about as thick as maybe the third or fourth Harry Potter book, maybe.
Yeah. Like, they're not very long books, honestly. They're pretty, like, average size for, like, a young adult novel.
Well, back then, I feel like novels used to be a little bit shorter. Mm-hmm. Now they usually shoot somewhere between, like, 350 to 600 pages, somewhere up in there.
Like, YouTube videos gain longer and longer for that ad revenue.
It's true. But honestly, sometimes I wouldn't mind watching a YouTube video that's like 20 minutes long with someone I enjoy.
Yo, I've watched YouTube videos that are over 15 minutes long. If you look at my subscriptions, almost all of them are like 20 to 50 minutes. It's getting ridiculous.
The only ones that I watch that are that long are like Bon Appetit videos.
Yeah, those are the ones I watched that were over 50. I watched 50 something minutes of Carla and Molly making cheese and I have zero regrets.
Oh, see, I haven't watched anyone else other than Claire. It's really just like...
okay, see, I've watched... almost every video they've uploaded in the past, like, 3 months.
Oh, goodness. Well, I did watch the one with the hot guy. I forget what his name is. Is it Marco? No, that's racist. What's his name? I can't say his name.
Is he the guy with the big muscles?
Yeah.
Andy.
Andy, there we go.
Yeah, they make fun of him all the time because of his, like, because he's, like, so, like, fit. And like, I think they make fun of him because there was one time he was like, oh, I can't have that much bread. I already had some today. And they were like, Andy. They've joked about him, like, busting out of his shirt before and stuff. It's great. Well, I don't watch a ton of Andy, but I do like Andy.
I was going to say, like, off topic.
Yeah, what's up?
I mean, we're already off topic anyway. But, like, I feel like when it comes to dudes like that who are like, I can't have bread because I've already had bread today, I'm just like,
yeah. And? Like, he definitely has it to a point, but I think he, like, tries to limit it for his diet, but...
Yeah, but I'm just like, okay, and? I'm like, if you do that one day, it's one day out of, right. like, how many?
I think it's just an overall discipline thing. Like, once you... Like, I know at least where I am, if I let myself do it once, it, like, once my brain realizes I can actually do whatever I want, then it's all downhill from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it's that. I don't know. I don't know his life. That
slippery slope type thing.
Yeah, I don't know his life. But I remember, like, Babish, who does the food videos on YouTube, he went on, like, a diet for a while because he wanted to, like, bulk up and build muscle. And so he basically had a certain amount of, like, carbs and a certain amount of protein, a certain amount of fat that he had to, like, eat every day. And he couldn't go over or below it. And so he would, like, make these, like, things of food for his YouTube series, and then, like, wouldn't, and then would be like, well, I can't eat this, so my camera crew's gonna try it. He's like, can't eat this because of my diet, but, or he would, like, take a bite and then spit it out because he's like, I'm not allowed to eat this. Because he also would make some really, like, crazy shit that it's like, if you're on, like, any kind of diet, you should not be eating this.
Oh, wow.
Because his whole thing is, binging with Babish is he'll take things from shows or movies and he'll make them. Mm-hmm. So he's done, like, the Krabby Patty, and he has a It's Always Sunny special, and he makes the milk steak or whatever.
Ew.
Yeah, so he does stuff like that where it's like, it's very questionable whether or not it's edible, right? So, but he always tries it no matter what, so, or at least has someone
else. I was gonna say, I'm like, at that, like, if you don't try it, I would be very upset.
Oh yeah, no, he tries it even when, if it's like not even like there are sometimes he tries and he's like, oh, it's disgusting. Please don't do this. But then, like, so what he usually does is he'll take it literally and try and make it, and then, like, he'll say, okay, but I think we can do better. Or if it's, like, really awful, he's like, okay, we're gonna make this, like, edible. And then he'll do, like, an interpretation of it that's, like, actually good to eat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was gonna say, with Krabby Patties, there's, like, literally no... You have to interpret that shit.
Right. He's done a few different Krabby Patty versions, because there's one that's, like, the, like... where it's, like, stacked up huge, and it's, like, double fried and on a stick and, like, all this other stuff. And he made that, and he ate a double fried burger. He didn't eat the whole thing, because that thing was massive, and, like, that's not, that would, I'm pretty sure, shut down your heart. But he did try, and he's like, oh, yeah, it tastes really good, because, you know, it's, like, double fried beef, so. Obviously, it's gonna be good, but.
love that. Love that energy. But anyway, going back to the Twilight Wikipedia page that I was reading about Stephenie Meyer's, because, you know, we often get off topic, but, like, I was reading the Stephenie Meyer's wiki, and because I was like, what the fuck was the inspiration of this? Because I was like, this has to be fan fiction.
Yeah.
It wasn't, if you're wondering, and I'm not the only person who's fucking Googled that, because apparently it's enough of a Google search that they have it directly on the Google search page, so you don't have to go to another page. It is literally that searched. They're like, what is Twilight a fan fiction of? Apparently nothing. And yeah, I'm very upset.
It's like fan fiction. Like, it's basically fan fiction.
Yeah, like I said, it's Roswell fan fiction, and I refuse to believe otherwise.
Yeah.
But apparently, all four books are based off of, are loosely based off of previous literary classics. The first one is based off of... what did I say? It was Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. The second one was Romeo and Juliet. The third is Wuthering Heights, which I've never fucking read.
I haven't.
And the fourth is literally my favorite Shakespeare work, A Midsummer Night's Dream.
The only one I've read Pride and Prejudice, sort of. And the fact that I read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, which, like, to be fair, like, if you read it, like, it's Pride and Prejudice, but, like, they just change a word here and there to make it make sense that they're zombies and add the occasional scene with zombies. But, like, the actual story itself is still there.
Oh, we should watch that, like, movie, because they did do a movie.
Right, I never saw it. But, the story and the words and all of that, like, is the same. They just switched out a word here and there to make zombies in it, Like, that's all they did, and then they added a couple scenes with zombies. That's the only change.
At first, I was about to say how, but also, it's probably out of that whole, like, fucking window of, like, fair use, so right. they can do whatever the fuck.
Right, and it was, I think that's one of the only reasons I've read it, and it's because, like, for me at least, the book wasn't interesting enough by itself, but when you add in zombies, I'm like, okay, like, I can get behind this, because zombies are fun, and then you also still get, like, the themes and the story of the original in there as well.
Okay, so. Now that I know that, now that I have just honestly realized that in my head, I'm going to take Pride and Prejudice, and then just turn into, like, I'm going to turn the main character into a stripper.
Yeah, do it.
And then we're just going to figure out everything
Pride,
else.
Pride, Prejudice, and Strippers.
Yeah. But it's just going to be about... Actually, I'm just going to change the whole thing to it's set in modern-day L.A. Or not L.A., Atlanta. And the main character is a stripper. And she's just like, I don't care about getting a man. I just want to make dumb bands. Because oh, it would God. Sell. No one can tell me that that would not sell.
Oh, my God.
Especially as big as Cardi B is right now. Cardi B and City Girls and Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, my God.
We could do it. I could do it. I have so many good ideas on this podcast. Why do I never write them down?
Yeah, why don't you?
I don't know. I think it's because I love giving... I'm much like a muse in that way, where I love ideas, but I don't always love to follow through with all of them.
Oh, I hate following through.
Yeah.
I rarely do.
Honestly, if I could... I was about to say, if I could go back in time, I'm like, I full-on wish that I was born as, like, one of those Greek fucking muses and just... helped other people figure out ideas, because I'm like, I'm so good with those. I'm like, take an idea. Here's an idea for you. Take that one.
Well, what you need to do is become part of a writer's room, because from what I understand, a lot of what being in the writer's room is just pitching ideas.
It's
true. They're not always taken up, but, like, a lot of it is just, like, brainstorming.
Yeah, I'm really good at that shit. Yeah. I'm just really bad at doing the actual thing. And the sadder part is I used to be way better at it.
Okay.
I used to always follow through with my ideas. And now I've just gotten to the point where I have so many of them where I'm like, I write only a few. I write the best ones down. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them just fade off into the ether. Mm-hmm. Or I'll just mention them to someone and they're like, oh, I love that idea. Can I take that? And I'm like, I don't care. Except for with He Who Shall Not Be Named, who steals a lot of my jokes.
Oof.
I mean, when we were in college, do you know how many of my jokes that he stole and would put on fucking Facebook?
I'm sure so many.
A lot. I was this comedy cash cow.
send him, like, an invoice.
Here's an invoice for all of the jokes I've given you over the years.
I would, like, sometimes, if I see someone, like, used one of my jokes, I will, like, comment on a post and be like, give me credit. And it's even like, oh, you can post my joke, but you better credit me.
I think I did that once, and I was just like, oh, that's so funny, too bad you didn't say it.
Yeah, I do that. If I post other people's jokes, I will credit them. Like, I think I posted, someone made a joke about one of our friends, like, I'm like, oh, this person, like, acts like a fuckboy, and then people called him a fuckboy, and, like, our friend is like, oh, and then, like, the Pikachu meme, and I'm like, that's hilarious, you should post it, and they're like, nah, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna post it then, I will credit you, and I commented, I'm like, yeah, this is their joke, by the way, but, like, the public needed to know.
Ah, that's fair.
Because it was funny.
You're an honest comedian.
Yeah. And one other person even commented saying, wow, nice joke, so-and-so.
Nice joke, not Catherine. Love that.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck else happened in this movie? Okay, so...
Oh, the tent.
Oh, true. So, we finally got to the tent.
Important content.
Oh, also, they added more female characters because they brought in the woman in the wolf pack, which was supposed to change the whole dynamic because they're like, Sam and...
Yeah, that was a really significant thing.
Yeah, because they brought in the whole, like, aspect of imprinting. They're like, we wolves, we imprint, and blah, blah, blah. Like... Sam was with Leah, but, you know, I think he was with Leah. And the weird thing is, I'm like, the way they make Leah sound is she sounds like she's younger than she is, but she's not. She's, like, Sam's age, which is, like, I guess in your 20s or something. Mm-hmm. But Sam looks like he's pushing 30.
Yeah.
So he was apparently with Leah. He imprinted on Emily, became a wolf, accidentally scratched her fucking face up. But they're together, and he's just like, I love you, bitch, I ain't never gonna stop loving you, bitch. And Leah's mad, and because they're wolves, apparently they have telepathy where they can, like, talk to each other, and they're just like,
oh, yeah,
they're, like, pissed off, because they're just like, I wish she would just stay at home. And then and Belle's just like, don't be sexist. He's like, no, like, I can hear her thoughts. And all she's just like, he just, like, fucking left me. And, like, now he's with this other bitch and she's making muffins and shit. Because it's true, because the first fucking scene she shows up with, she's like, do you want a muffin? And I'm like, bitch, there better be some bran in there. My God. We need that fiber.
My God.
Gotta keep him on a healthy diet.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think the tent scene was the most iconic part of the entire movie.
Oh, that was personally. Like, that was like my favorite part of the book. I was just all like, yeah, bitch, fuck. Especially when I was reading the book, I was just like, oh my God, is she gonna finally fuck him in this tent?
Well, I remember a whole thing, at least in the book, is that he literally climbs into her tiny sleeping bag with her.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, I think Edward wasn't Edward not there?
I don't think he was there for all of it, but he was definitely there for some of it.
Yeah, I want to say he was there for the latter portion of it. It's like, they went up together by themselves, and they were in a tent, and then he showed up later. At least that's how I remember it from the books. I may be wrong, because it's been literally years since I've read it, so who knows?
Maybe for our next one, I should try and find the fourth book and bring it.
And then we'll just thumb through it and figure it out.
It does a podcast where we just read the entire book.
We just read excerpts? I would love that.
Wait, what if we started a YouTube channel where instead of reacting to movies, we reacted to books? And it was just
there are those!
And it was just us reading a book.
Okay, do you know before I fucking cleared out my YouTube history, because I was like, it was showing me random ass shit, so I cleared out my search history, and now my YouTube shows me literally nothing. But nice. Before
who is he?
Exactly. It's like, who am I? I'm not a real person anymore. But before that, one of the fucking things it kept suggesting to me is this girl who read this one book, either a book or a book series, and it's apparently like a really shitty book, and she's like, I read the whole thing. And it was like an hour long, and I just never watched it, but
that's
really
so
funny.
Long.
It had like either a million views or somewhere close to it.
Jesus.
And I'm like, for it to be as long as it was and have that many views was really wild.
Well, I love it when people do reactions to like horrible movies and the title is something along the lines of, I watched this so you don't have to. And I'm like, see, I appreciate the thought, because sometimes I'm like, this sounds like a shit show, but I don't want to actually sit down and watch it. Like, just tell me all the highlights, you know?
I mean, that's like almost all of half, if not a good percentage of Shren Lavelle's.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of what she has done, but I've seen other people like title it similarly as well.
You know she did like fucking I watched Bring It On the other day.
I haven't watched it yet.
I watched it and it made me want to watch Bring It On. To which
I love Bring It On also.
Bring It On is one of my favorite movies.
I just watched it for the first time like 2 or 3 years ago.
I still can't believe that, but it's literally one of my favorite
movies.
It was
just one of those that went past me. I don't know how. It just never, I don't know, it was just never even on my radar, so I don't really know why I didn't watch it. I think it was just I didn't really have any friends who were that into it. I also had a thing against cheerleaders, because I was, like, that child where I'm just, like, screw things that are seen as feminine, didn't like the color pink, didn't like princesses, all of that, so I really rebelled against a lot of that stuff.
Oh,
and
well,
then also, the cheerleaders I did know were very annoying, so.
I mean, fair. But it came out in, like, 2000, and, like, when I was younger, I was, like, oh, damn, I don't want to say.
Too young in
I don't want to say how old I was because I hate dating myself on this podcast. But I'm like, I was like around 10 years old or whatever. I didn't have it on VHS, but again, dating myself. I'm talking about a VHS. Do you guys know what a VHS is? I just don't. I never know if anyone knows what a VHS is, because there are some people who are just like, "What's a fucking VHS?" But I remember borrowing a VHS of Bring It On from a friend of mine. Like, it was actually a church friend of mine, and they were friends, or we were friends because our parents were friends. So I knew her, and
one
I was just
those.
Like, yeah. And I borrowed Bring It On from her, and I watched it multiple times. The fucking tape broke. I don't know why. But now I own it on DVD and watch it whenever the fuck I feel like it. Because they keep taking it on and off of Netflix, and I'm not here
right,
for that
it's
bullshit.
It's very offensive.
Yeah, they do the same thing with fucking Mean Girls, and I'm not here for it.
Just pick.
Yeah, that's why I have it on DVD, because I never have to worry about that bullshit. I can watch it whenever I feel like it.
Right.
That, Clueless. I have a whole, like, sleepover section where I have a sleepover. I won't say a girl sleepover section. I just have a sleepover section where it's just, like, movies you watch when you have a sleepover. I also have Sleepover in that collection.
Of course.
Sleepover is iconic. Iconic. I don't know why it's iconic, but it is. Just for the sheer nonsense of it. I don't think you've seen that movie, have you?
No.
Okay. Which is weird. I thought you might have seen it just because of, you know, some other friends of mine, or of ours. I thought you watched it when they watched it randomly.
I mean, it's possible. If so, I don't, like, remember it off the top of my head. I would need some sort of, like, summary or, like, looking at it. But I don't remember it off the top of my head.
There's not a whole lot to it, other than, like, they're doing some weird scavenger hunt at a sleepover. But, yeah, this was the movie where, you know, Jacob climbed into that tent, gave her that old dick print on her back, she was just like, I'm horny as fuck. She's like, I'm horny as fuck, and Edward's not giving me the dick. She's like, kiss me, Jacob. Because, again, after going into the Wikipedia page, I found out that Stephanie Meyer's work is more about love rather than lust.
Oh, so well, that's
she
funny.
Focuses more on that rather than
the
other.
I would also like to say that, like, Jacob found out that she was engaged to Edward, and that's when she's like, kiss me. It's like, you're already engaged to Edward. I would have hoped that you'd figure it out your feelings by now.
She's impulsive. Again, mental illness.
Fair point. Also horny from that night in the tent.
Exactly. I mean, after both of us have seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, we can spot mental illness at this point. It's just like, you know what? I think I can find it. And, you know, she's very close to that whole borderline because Rebecca did act very irrationally that.
It's true.
Remember, she did try and get married to Josh real quick. In season two.
Fair point.
He was just like, let's get married. And she was just like, sure.
God.
Which is literally what Bella did. She was, well.
Well, no.
At first, she was just like, because she was.
Had to make sure she was going to get dick first.
See, Bella's hesitation is a rational hesitation that I would also have, where it's just like, do I want to be dedicated to a dick that I don't know is good? Do I know that it's good dick? Do I want to be married to it for life?
Like, they argue that nowadays they're like, you should live with people before you marry them. Because what if you marry each other, move in together, and then realize that you can't?
Cohabitate. Exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm just like, there's so much of this whole, like, religion aspect that doesn't make sense. Where they're just like, they really just wanted to pay. What a lot of people fail to realize is that religion, a lot of it was based in, like, necessity for, like, human survival.
Yeah.
Where they just, like, paired people off and they're just like, you just gotta fucking make it work. I don't know how you're gonna do it. Just fucking make it work. And then they're just like, yeah, that's, like, an aspect of religion. It's like, but these days, there's so many people. It's like, if you can't make it work with someone, literally, you can go find someone else.
Yeah.
There are enough people in this world where you could hop from dick to, like, dick to dick to dick to dick. It doesn't matter.
You have so many options here.
Exactly.
The world does not need more children.
It doesn't. I'm very happy with certain women who are just like, hey, I don't want to be a mom. I'm like, dude, there are dudes out there who don't want to be dads. Think about all of the stories out there who are, like, dudes just, like, up and leaving where they're like, yeah, bye. I had to, like, verbalize that in ASMR because it's literally how they are. They're, like, literally in their car driving away, like, bye.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm totally cool with that. But, you know, fucking Stephanie Meyer and that fucking Mormonism jumping out of her. She really had to, like, put that in her work and be like, well, they have to get married before they can have the intercourse and then other things and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's so, yeah. Like, remaking this as a modern thing, for one, that's, like, feminism would have been Bella fucking both of them and then being like, hey, I don't want to be with either of you right now. I'm going to fuck a third person.
Oh, my God.
And I refuse to let you slut shame me.
It's true.
I was telling you, I, like, when I was looking up if this was fanfic, I passed an article that said Twilight, the franchise that ate feminism, and to which I can fully agree with it, because Edward comes off as a possessive boyfriend. Yeah. Like, Charlie even says, like, I don't think it's good for you to just be hanging out with him, because he was realizing that that's what abusers do. They, like, isolate you from your family, your friends, and all that shit. I'm like, all of the things that were happening to Bella were classic signs of someone who is in a very abusive relationship.
Right. Well, I mean, Jacob also wouldn't take no for an answer.
And that's the...
Like, kissed her against her will when she was very clearly trying to pull away. And then, of course, she punched him, so, like, good for her. But, like, he constantly kept going for her even when he knew she was dating someone and was happy with him and, like, had not expressed interest toward him. So, like, that also, I think, is a thing. Like, I don't think either of them are good options. Like you said, she should have just dicked them both down and gotten out of there.
Yeah.
Like.
Dicked them down and ran off to another state. But,
exactly, yeah.
I mean, but the weirder thing about it is I've always been way more on Jacob's side because he has been very verbal about, very verbal and also exhibited examples of, like, I want you to be who you are. I want to be with you exactly the way that you are. I don't want to change anything about you. I don't want anything out of the ordinary and whatnot. I just want to be in a relationship with you. And, like, I know he exhibited all those weird behaviors and whatnot afterwards, but that was only after, honestly, he didn't do any of that shit until, like, halfway through New Moon slash after it, where he started acting all kind of crazy. Because he was trying to get her out of that relationship. And I'm like, it's one of those things where you're just like, if you're someone who, like, is in love with someone who you know is in a toxic relationship and want to do something about it to help them out of that scenario, it's like, what do you do? It's one of those, like, catch-22 type things.
I don't think he was trying to help her out of a toxic relationship. I think he just wanted to be in a relationship with her. Like, I think that's two very different things.
You make a very good point.
I don't think he isolated her, because he would sit at the lunch table with her and her friends and stuff.
That was...
So he wouldn't isolate her. I think a lot of the isolation came from her specifically. Because if you also remember, when he left and she was depressed, she ditched all of them. So I think... And I think she's, especially with that group of friends in the high school, she's like, oh, like, I'm friends with them, but I don't, like, really care about them on a deeper level. It's the kind that it's like, we're in high school, so we're, like, we'll hang together, but once we graduate and go our separate ways, I'm probably never going to talk to you again. Like, yeah. It was that kind of level of friendship, so I think a lot of the isolation was from her side, where she's like, she didn't care enough.
Again, like, when I said that whenever they reboot this, they've just got to get rid of Bella Swan. There's no way that you can reboot this with Bella and try to make it anything that could, like, exist in this type of climate. It can't, like... Women don't behave like that.
Yeah, Roswell showed a better example. Like, the OG Roswell showed a better example of a strong woman.
Exactly! And that was in the fucking 90s, bruh.
Yeah.
Again, the Mormonism really jumped out. But anyway, what else happened in this movie?
Dude, I don't remember. There was the whole fight or whatever. Yeah, but there's not much to say about that, really. Like, they fought. CGI got better from the first one, but, like, yeah, it's not saying a lot.
It's way more interesting in the book than it is in the movie. I'll say that. Yeah. But
again, the tent scene was the only part that, like, really pulled my interest in the entire third movie.
Again, that's the aspect of this whole series that I've always been way more interested in, is the fucking romantic bullshit. Like, the romantic,
which is weird, because I'm usually, like, other end of the spectrum.
Exactly. I usually care way more about the supernatural bullshit, but in this one, it's like, I got that the supernatural aspect was, like, fun, and I actually enjoyed it, but it wasn't, like, you know, necessary, per se.
Right.
So, whatever. She really just, she needed to just get laid. That's all Bella Swan needed.
I'm really looking forward to the next movie where she does get laid.
You know what she should have done?
She's still horny, though.
She should have fucked that dude in her high school who's, like, obsessed with her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then ignored him.
Yeah, she should have.
That would have been... Honestly, that would be how the new series
would work.
Throwback
to when she said she was going to be out of town for prom and to go ask out her friend instead.
Yeah. I'm going to be out of town. Shows up at prom. Hey, what's up?
So funny.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, like, if they were to reboot this again as a CW series now, she would fuck the dude in high school... Like, the high school dude, yeah. And then ghost the fuck out of
him. I was gonna say his name was, like, Mike or something like that.
Yeah, I think. She would fuck him and then ghost the shit out of him.
Mike or Matt, you know, something generic.
Mm. Because she would have to fuck him to create dramatic tension between her and the girl who becomes the valedictorian.
Jessica?
Yes.
My favorite character.
She's, like, the best. I want to know so
funny. So
much
I also
more
love
her.
Anna Kendrick, so, like, that's a huge part of it as well. But, I mean, I loved that character before I knew who Anna Kendrick was, so.
It was a great character because that character was basically the audience.
Yeah, you don't get enough of it.
Seriously.
Just constantly like, what are these weird-ass people doing?
I love A New Moon when she was just like, yeah, like, I was actually surprised that you called me. And then she goes on this whole spiel while they're walking down the street. She's like, yeah, I get that you're sad, but we're, like, all going through shit. So, like, what the fuck? And I'm like, me!
It's so funny, yeah.
I'm like, I'm her.
Like, your boyfriend broke up with you. Like, it ain't that deep, Bella. It ain't that deep.
Move on. Get a wheelchair.
Get a dick and move on.
Get a wheelchair. Just whirl yourself around. Really bringing it back to Bring It On. But,
God.
Lucky bitch.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's really much else to talk about there.
There isn't. The only thing is, like, towards the end, the Volturi show up, and they're all like, well, she better be a vampire next time we show up, or we gonna have problems. Said Dakota Fanning, who's in this movie for no reason.
I always forget about that.
This was the movie where, or this, not this movie, last movie, New Moon. This was when she decided to, like, make her reintroduction into movies because she, like, took a while off to go be a normal teenager and shit and go to school.
Did she do a horse movie at some point, or was that Elle Fanning?
It might have been Elle, but I have no idea.
I lose track. I want to say it was Flicka.
Do you know what's wild is Elle Fanning's career is, like, wild more successful.
Yeah. I think it was Dakota Fanning who did the horse movie.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, because I think it was... Because, which one's older?
Dakota?
I'm gonna look it up.
I think Dakota's older, but the thing is, it's like, Dakota was a child actor.
Right.
So she was acting ever since she was, like, a kid decided to, like, drop off and become a normal person. Elle started as a teen, I think.
Flicka's pretty old, so that's why I think she did Flicka, because I think Elle Fanning would have been too young.
Yeah.
Because she was around teenage at that point.
Yeah. I think Elle was too young, because she's, I think, not her first movie, but at least her first big movie was, like, I think it was called, like, Open House or something like that, and that was the horror movie that was, like, one shot the whole way through. But it actually wasn't a one-shot sequence film. It was half where they did, like, half of it was one shot and then another half was another shot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a cool movie in general, just because of that aspect. Horror movies really be trying to, like, do new shit, and that's what I appreciate. On the whole. But anyway.
Yeah, I got my horse movies very confused. Neither of them were in Flicka.
Who was it? Selma Hayek.
I swear one of them was in a horse movie.
Wasn't Selma Hayek in Flicka?
Not that I can see here.
Oh, really? What the fuck horse movie was she in then? Whatever.
Katie McLaughlin was in it?
Who?
Is this the right Flicka? Are there multiple ones? Yeah, this is the right one. There was a horse... It was a different horse movie. I'm remembering now. I forget which one. I'm looking it up, because now this is just really bothering me.
Horse movies.
Which Fanning girl was in a horse movie, and which horse movie? Dreamer, maybe?
Plot twist, it was actually the Olsen twins.
Oh my god. Honestly, at this point, I'd be like, sure.
Love that. So yeah, there really isn't all that much that happens in Eclipse other than that. It's very action-packed, and we learn more about Rosalie and Jasper. They really didn't give Rosalie's backstory justice, because in the books it's way more interesting and shit, especially because she deals with this whole, like, sexual assault bullshit.
I was right. It was Dreamer and Dakota Fanning.
There you go.
I think it was around the same time as Flicka, and so that's why I got confused. But I've never seen Dreamer, so.
Yeah, there was a weird moment in time where they were just like, let's crank out a bunch of horse movies before no one's interested.
They weren't interested then. Yeah, I mean, I think Flicka and Dreamer are basically the same plot, which is another part of the reason why I just...
Aren't all horse movies the same plot?
Pretty much, yeah. But, like, those two especially were, like, two of the ones of that trope.
If it's not Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron, is it any different?
No. Black Beauty is a little bit different. Because it's not about a young girl and taming a wild horse. It's just, like, from a horse's perspective, like, through his life.
It's a horse's perspective where he's like, I'm a horse.
Yeah.
I just want to be free, bitch.
Basically. So, yeah, that's Black Beauty. So, it's all from a horse's perspective, and it's not very human-focused. But, like, every other movie is like, I'm a young teen, and I hate my parents. And I see a horse that hates everyone, but we love each other, and we're gonna go win the rodeo.
Oh boy. Well,
and that's like every horse movie ever. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I still think we should do a horse movie episode.
Oh, I mean, we can. I'm just not going to be looking forward to looking at any of those movies.
I mean, honestly, same. I think we need to do a two bad, one good horse movie because there are too many bad ones and not enough good ones.
I was going to say, are there any good ones, though?
Yes.
Are there exactly three?
Good. Spirit Stallion and Cimarron, best horse movie, the only truly valid one. For the trope I just previously mentioned with rebellious teen, whatever, Flicka, if you're gonna watch a movie with that trope, Flicka's the one to watch.
Where does Secretariat land in there?
That's like a horse race movie. It's more like watching a sports movie, you know what I mean? Than like a horse movie.
Mm.
So it's like, it's more of watching like an athlete up and coming, but it's like a horse, you know?
Okay, well, snooze to that.
Secretariat is like pretty good if you're into horse racing like at all.
Or Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, also, like, people, like, are like, ooh, how, you watch the horse races? And I'm like, honestly, couldn't care less. I really, truly don't care about horse racing. So I personally am not very drawn to those movies. But Spirit Stallion and Cimarron is, like, great, though. Horse Dancer on Netflix, garbage. You have to get drunk to watch it. There's no other way.
Literally no other way.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There are your synopses on horse films.
You're so
and
welcome.
Also Eclipse. Next up, we're watching Breaking Dawn Part 1 and Part 2. I still can't believe they fucking split this into two movies. I blame Harry Potter for doing
this. There's just so much content there.
There isn't! It's one book! The thing is the fucking...
He had to spend the whole movie, like, building up Bella finally getting dicked down, though.
The wildest part of it is, like... The way that they split it up is so ridiculous because, like, the book itself is no bigger than the other books.
Oh, no, it's like the same size.
It might be, like,
a few pages longer.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like they had to vamp, like, in both of those movies. They're like, shit, we ran out of content. We have to make this 2 hours. Let's vamp.
Oh, absolutely. They, like, pulled shit out of their ass for that.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch Breaking Dawn Part 2 because I've literally never seen it, so this is going to be a full-on first reaction.
Oh, jeez.
Visceral.
I've only seen the first, like, 15 minutes, so...
Yeah, the only one I've seen multiple times is the first one.
Same.
I watched New Moon once,
and I think I've seen Eclipse. Like, I really barely remember it, so I think I saw it once and I wasn't paying full attention, but I do think I've seen it at some point.
Yeah, I think this was, like, the third or so time I've seen New Moon. I've seen that one a couple
I've only seen it once.
But I've only seen Eclipse once. Weirdly enough. But, you know. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Tune in for Breaking Dawn for our final parts of this series. As always, thanks for listening. Gucci!